Wait, how do you say your last name?
Kos. Alisa Kos.
Alisa Kos.
I know. Nobody gets it, so I don't worry about it.
Welcome to another episode of Torah Podcast. On the podcast today, we got Alisa Kos.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. You're the host of Jits and Giggles.
Yep, you got it. Yep.
Sure. Jiu-jitsu practitioner.
Absolutely, yeah.
Blue belt,
yep. Just had my first Fury match, so nice. Starting to get into the competition scene, yep.
That was really cool.
It really was. It was very nerve-wracking, but it was really fun.
So how did you get started with that whole, let's start with the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, like how did I start jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, it's so random. So I was boxing and Delaware, because mm-hmm. I live in New Jersey, really close to the Delaware border. So I was boxing, and I wasn't in love with it. I was kind of like forcing myself to go to stay active. So I started looking for something that would be more fun for me. And at that time, I was just going through a lot of like personal stuff, and I wanted to keep active and keep my mind moving. And so I Googled, you know, just something that I could do in the area, something physical. I'd already done CrossFit, didn't really want to do that again, and jiu-jitsu popped up. And I had heard of jiu-jitsu, but I didn't really know what it was. I thought it was like karate or something. But they were offering a free week, so I was like, whatever. Yeah. It was like a week before my birthday, and I was just looking to do something. So I went, and it's funny because the gym that I'm at now, which is this same gym I'm describing, they were between buildings. So they were building a new one and leaving the old one. So during the interim, they were at this like park and in this like disgusting building that had like no air conditioning, no lights in the bathroom, but it was just to get by for like 2 weeks. But I happened to join during those 2 weeks. So can you imagine, as a woman, I walk in, there's no other women, there's no air conditioning, all these sweaty men are just all over each other. This is my first.
And you signed a contract. You're like, I want to come back.
This is awesome. I was just like so frustrated with life at that point that I was like, I just want to beat somebody up. And so I remember first class, they were like, okay, we're going to do mount. I don't know what that is, but they're like telling me to get mm-hmm. on some guys. I'm like, oh, I got to get on this sweaty guy. But I had a little pent up anger. So I was like, this is fun. And then everybody was just so nice and kept like asking me if I was going to come back. And the rest is kind of history. Then I joined the new facility, which is super nice. And I've been there ever since. It's Freedom Jiu-Jitsu.
Nice. And how long you've been training?
August was 3 years.
3 years.
It flew by. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm like 3.5. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
A little under 3 years, or over 3 years, I should say.
And are you out of movement art?
Yes.
Okay, you are out of. And you started there?
Yes, cool. I started there. Facilities too.
Oh, nice, nice.
I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, I never was there.
It was like, again, 3 minutes from here. I'm super lucky to be like 3 minutes from
the jiu-jitsu gym. Danny and Nick are so cool.
Yeah, it's definitely amazing place. My son went there first. He was recommended by a friend.
Oh, cool.
And it was like, oh, these guys are great, you should go there, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And he started taking some private like classes with somebody else, because
mm-hmm.
My kid is like in the spectrum, so part of it is like I was thinking that if I just threw him into a class,
mm-hmm.
how he can come from like the taekwondo background and all the stuff, like it's like, oh, like they're just gonna show him stuff he doesn't know what it's for, like
right.
he's totally gonna blank out, which wasn't the case at all,
right.
But like, I mean, he loved it. He loved like having those classes, and so I was like, all right, then we can go here, and the way that they teach it is totally like on his level.
Oh, yeah.
And then after a couple months of taking him there, I one of the dads was like, you should come. And I was like, yeah, let me try it out, you know?
Yeah.
And ever since then, I was just like hooked on it.
Was it what you expected?
No. it's never so what you expect.
It's so different when you start, because I feel like parents are like always, because I coach as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents that don't train are always, you know, like yelling at their kids, mm-hmm. or they don't understand why their kid doesn't just like do the move correctly,
yeah.
or why they don't just stand up. And then when the parents start training, all of a sudden they have a lot less to say, because you realize how intense it is.
I knew that it was intense, but at the same time, I was like, there was a little bit of jiu-jitsu, like in the old taekwondo, like mm-hmm. background that I have. Like, we used to do like cross training on the weekends,
right,
and we would
right.
bring like a Muay Thai person, a jiu-jitsu person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've learned basic stuff, like
yeah.
how to get out of mount. And it was like the old school kind of oompa, you know, kind of thing. And it was like, oh, yeah, I know some jujitsu, you know. It's like, no, I don't know anything.
It's so funny because everybody thinks they know until they actually do jujitsu. Because there was a guy, he might listen to this, but there was a, it's the truth. There was a guy who like hit me up. Looking to come drop into the gym. And I knew him from high school. And he was like, oh, I have jujitsu experience. I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, I go to this dojo. I'm like, okay, it's already a little bit of a red flag, but all right. He's like, we do a lot of ground and pound. And we do jujitsu. I have a jujitsu background. I'm like, okay, well, we'll have you come in and, you know, I'll pair you up and we'll take it easy. He's like, no, I don't need to go easy. Like, you can put me with, like, the black belt. So I'm like, all right. Comes in, put him with our white belt female. She took his back, choked about, like, 25 times.
Yeah,
I was like, I think you should maybe take it easy and not go too hard. So people think they know, but when you really get into it, it's a lot more involved.
Oh, I also like hate it. Like there's these guys who come in, they're like 250, 300 pounds, and they're going against like a brown belt woman who's like 110, you know, like, and it's just like one, he's getting destroyed. So then he's getting more frustrated.
Yeah.
And then he's like starting to put all his weight. And I remember at that time, Danny's mom was like running the gym. So I was like, that's an a-hole move.
It is.
And he's like, I don't understand. But like, she cranked on my arm. It's like, no, she's giving you a submission. You tap, you have to protect yourself, but you can't put all your weight on it.
Right.
It's like, I don't understand, like, why, you know, I can't do that. It's like, there's a size difference. There's a strength difference. Right. There's everything. It's like, be very gentle, you know, even if you have the advantage, you know?
Right, yeah. No, it's funny. I always say there's, like, two types of people. It's usually, like, either them. It's usually, I will say, like, mostly men, it's two types of people because women usually are smaller and don't have as much of an ego because of the size difference. But with men, I notice it's like either they come in and they have no experience and they get beat up, and either they have an ego and they flip out and they're like, I'm never going back. Like, this is BS, whatever. Or you have type B, which is like, I can't believe I just got beat up by a smaller man or smaller woman. I'm addicted. I want to figure out like the answer to the problem. And that's how we weed out the people we don't want.
Yeah. No, but to me, and I've talked about it on this podcast before, but to me, it's a problem solving.
Yes. Right?
I love chess. I love like jiu-jitsu for that reason, right? Like it's the problem solving. It's like chess is like, you know, you have a 1 minute match and, you know, you're like going and going and going and all that stuff. Whereas like jiu-jitsu is like the problem is changing. It's imagine the chessboard just like flipping out on you every 5 seconds, you know, and it's like who can react the fastest.
It's so true. I think that's why I'm still doing jiu-jitsu because I've always been like a chronic hobbyist. Like I've done every hobby you can think of. My friends are always like, oh God, like what's you know, on the agenda for this month? I mean, I got really into making cookies with like royal icing. I bought everything to make royal icing. I made one batch of cookies, never made it again. You know, CrossFit, boxing, all types of things. But jiu-jitsu is the only thing I've stuck with for this long. And I think it's because it's really hard to get bored because it's just always changing. And it's always challenging. And that's the only reason I can think of because I really don't know why I haven't quit, honestly.
True. I for me, too. I was like a runner. I was a cyclist. I did everything. I did taekwondo. I mean, but it's just like jiu-jitsu is so addictive.
Yeah, it really
is. It's just like, I mean, oh my God, I can't. Like every time I go to a class and even the same move that you just, you think you know it. Mm-hmm. Even like training with like Nick and Danny is like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure it's like, I know my Delahiva very well. But every time we have a class, it's like, there's a little detail that they put in there. And I'm just like, oh, man, that detail is going to change my game. No, it doesn't. So it's true. Like, it's like the MIB thing. Like, they flash and it's like everything forgets.
No, oh, my God. That happens to me all the time. No, it's true. For some reason, it just keeps you coming back. I mean, honestly, I, you know, normally am like, don't like being around like group activities like CrossFit and all that. Like I would like it in the beginning, but eventually I would find myself getting sick of the people. Sounds terrible to say, but I was just like, have enough. I would like to be isolated a little bit more. It hasn't happened yet in jiu-jitsu. I mean, of course, you know, you run into people, you're not your favorite person once in a while, but for the most part, I really look forward to like the group environment actually.
And you coach the kids too?
Yes.
How's that?
That is, you know, a double-edged sword. I absolutely love it. And they make me feel happy, but obviously there's a little stress some days as well because they're children, but I mean, I absolutely love it. I wouldn't change it for
anything. I coach the kids too.
And how do you enjoy it?
I love it.
It is
love
great.
I mean, like, to me, it's like it's just mind blowing. How, like, there's certain kids who just pick it up,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, you know, of course you love them and gravitate towards them, and you really want to, like, basically, like, almost shape them and all this stuff. But at the same time, it's like, even the all kinds of personalities. Like, I'll tell you a story. My son and another kid were kind of getting into, like, argument. Not mm-hmm. argument, but, like, the kid was in.
Yeah, being, like, a bully or something.
Being horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in jiu-jitsu. And then one day the coach just stops. Mm-hmm. And he starts talking to the kid. And he's like, you know, he could be your friend. You know, like, basically, he's like, why are you acting this way?
Yeah.
You think your jiu-jitsu is good? It's like, I heard the commentary that you were making, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All that stuff. That type of mentality that teaches the kids mm-hmm. how to be a better human, not just on the jiu-jitsu mats, but, like, outside of it. And it's like, the wisdom that gets passed down to those kids through that class,
mm-hmm.
that one-hour class is, like, my favorite.
It's so true.
And not only that, like, I think my jiu-jitsu gets better.
Yeah. Oh, like, definitely. From teaching, mm-hmm. you pick up on little things that you might not have noticed before.
And then you get the dopamine spike of, like, somebody hitting a move that you're talking them through. It's really cool.
No, it's so true. I literally just taught, because I usually help with classes. So I was helping with one of the kids' classes right before I trained
mm-hmm.
At a different gym. I was cross-training. And literally, what we taught the kids that day, I went and hit it on an adult that day. And I was like, it was because obviously it was fresh in my mind. And I had just gone over what to do, what not to do. And it's definitely helped my jiu-jitsu improve. And to your point, I also love seeing how we can motivate the kids to be better little humans.
Mm-hmm.
Similar story. There was a little girl, and she's very sweet and very athletic. But when new kids come in, sometimes they get a little territorial. And so this one particular day, the little girl was kind of bullying the new girl and was, like, telling her, like, you're doing it wrong and things like that. And so, you know, you can handle it two different ways. You can reprimand her. But I pulled her aside knowing that there is some good deep down in there. And I was like, listen, you know, you could either get frustrated or you could be a leader and you can show her how to do the move. And it's crazy how when you use, like, certain words like leader, all of a sudden they're like, I could be a leader. And, you know, instead of being a bully, now all of a sudden she's like, oh, I'm in a position of almost, like, power, authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the rest of the class, she helped the other little girl. And I was like, sometimes you just have to, like, talk to them in a way that's going to motivate them to make the right decision, you know?
It's definitely true.
Yeah.
I mean, I love teaching the kids in jiu-jitsu. I also volunteer with my son with, like, scouts and all this stuff. So seeing that whole process too is, like, to me, I love it because I sit on boards for, like, you know, the kids who get Eagle Scouts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you almost get, like, this nice feeling in your heart. Like, there's good humans out there.
Sure.
And this whole, like, noise of bad people out there is, like, just noise, you know? It's like, there's good in this world. And that's why I love working with.
It's true. There's more good than bad if you actually choose to look for it.
So going outside of jiu-jitsu, going back to the podcast, you have your podcast, Jits and Giggles.
Correct.
When did you start that?
This December is coming up on 2 years. So a little shy of 2 years right now. I started that. I was a blue belt, you know, early on in my blue belt. Now I'm towards the end of my blue belt. But I started it because a couple of reasons. One, I always shout out my friends, Yara and Daishi. They were always teasing me, like, oh, you talk so much. You ask so many questions. And, you know, tough love. But I think one of the reasons I was always so inquisitive is because I felt like I was playing catch up. A lot of my friends are upper belts and they just know so much, right? Like, they know all the athletes and they know all the moves and they know all the inner circles. And I just never knew what the heck was going on. So the only way to catch up was to ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always inquisitive. And then between them kind of telling me that I ask a lot of questions and Yara telling me about her, you know, coming up the ranks as a Muslim woman, I just kind of was like, you know what? That's, like, a very interesting story that no one really knows about unless, like, they were there.
Mm.
And I asked her one day, like, what if I, like, sat down and let you tell your story? I think it's really interesting. And to be honest, I didn't know if it would go past the first quote unquote episode. And it did. It just, you know, a lot of people just kept saying yes when I asked them and I just kept rolling with it. And as long as it stays fun, I'll just keep doing it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really cool.
So for me, it was like my friend and I, like he came over to work out and every weekend. And he talks a lot, and I talk a lot, and it was just like back and forth. And I'm like, dude, we should start a podcast.
Yeah.
And then the next week, like I had like all the equipment. I'm like, let's go, you know, but some cheap microphones, horrible. Our first episode was just like, but it's definitely so much fun. And then like little by little, just started getting other guests and all that. Yeah. I had like a woman who was a CTO of my company, she quit her job to go pursue her dream of like photographing wildlife all over the world. And it's like, she has amazing, amazing stories. And so that was like a really cool podcast.
Very cool. So you're not like specific to jiu-jitsu.
No.
Then. So will you interview, like, what is your thing? Like just
anything.
Anyone with
anyone,
cool story?
Everybody has the stories to tell, just like you were talking about with your friend.
And that's smart, because sometimes making it like too niche is like tough. Although, so far, I haven't run out of anybody yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, the jiu-jitsu community is only so big. Mm-hmm. I do try to expand out to, like, MMA and Muay Thai and things like that. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how far I can take it, just because it is more of a small community. But so far, I haven't run out of people, so.
That's cool. So how did you get started with, like, getting in touch with, like, some of the guests that were, like, more well-known?
Yeah. So I get this question a lot, because honestly, sometimes I don't know myself how I pull it off. But to be honest, it's really simple. It's not a big secret. I'm just a very persistent person, borderline annoying. So I just honestly reach out and ask. And, you know, sometimes you can't get to people. Sometimes their Instagram, you know, won't allow me to message them with these bigger names. So if that's the case, I'll try to see what mutual connections we have. Like, I do train. I'm in the environment. I know a lot of people at this point. So if I can find a friend of a friend or a friend of a friend of a friend, maybe I'll reach out and say, hey, you know, this person follows you, so they're going to see your message, because you just shoot them a message and say that I message them. A lot of times people are willing to do that. And then the other way is just finding them in person, going to the ADCCs, the IBJJFs, the local tournaments, the Furies, the Nagas. You run into people all the time. This community's not that big. So if I see somebody that I'm interested in, I'll just walk up and have a conversation. You know, of course they can say no. I would never, you know, be offended. But most of the time people are very kind and very willing to talk to you, because it's a mutual, you know, beneficial thing. So most people are like, sure, I'd love to get my name out there. I'd love to have people talking about me. So I'm the one that has to do all the work after the fact. So most people are okay with it. Some people aren't, and that's okay too.
You had like Gabby Garcia, you had J-Rod.
Yes.
So it's like big names for those who don't know jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, and that's just like kind of like a snowball that builds, right?
Yeah.
It's like you start with some bigger names, and then I think, I don't know for sure, but I assume some of these bigger names now, when I reach out, I'm sure they click on my profile and they see, oh, okay, well, she must not be a horrible person if so-and-so already did the podcast. And I think that definitely helps me as time goes on. Like, for instance, with Gabby Garcia, I literally just messaged her. I didn't think she would see my message, and shockingly, she did. And
that was a great episode.
Yeah, she's hilarious. Like, she's
funny. It touched upon, like, other stuff that was, like, you know, it almost, like, humanized her more than just this character that we see in on the internet.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to. That's what I want for the podcast in general. Like, I feel like we already have podcasts that talks about these athletes' accolades, or, you know, just runs down and talks them about maybe a performance they just had. We already have that. I really wanted my podcast to gear more towards humanizing them and talking to them about just who they are as people. And of course, we do touch on their accolades, but I really try to focus more on, like, who are you as a person? Because at the end of the day, like, no matter how big the athlete is, I don't know, it's ironic, or it's, you know, it's, they are just like us. They're really not, they're not much different, but sometimes we make them out to be so different in our heads.
Yeah. That is true. But another thing that I love about the sport is how approachable these athletes who have all these accolades are. I mean, if you're a go play soccer, you can't really go train with Messi or somebody like that, but you can go down the street and go train with a 5-time world champion, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I say this all the time. I'm like, I think me choosing to do a podcast with the jiu-jitsu and the martial arts industry is helpful for me right now, because to your point exactly, it's like I can reach these bigger names for the most part. And the sport is growing now with, like, you know, the UFC getting involved and a lot of, you know, ADCC giving more money and CJI and all these other companies allowing the sport to grow. I do hope that I'm getting in at a time where maybe when it is harder to reach them, hopefully I'm already in enough that I can continue reaching them. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a long way before it'll be too much of an issue. So
how did you get in touch with, like, Craig Jones and the whole, you know, J-Rod
yeah,
episode?
So J-Rod, okay, so I cross-train at Webb MMA in Washington Township, Jonathan Webb's gym. Love it. They're like a second family to me. And then they host Illuminati, which is ran by Jay Rigobudo, who is an ADCC judge. And he's also just like the goat of coaches, right? So Jay has a million connections. So a lot of the times, some of these big names do drop in occasionally when they're home. Jacob and Nikki are from Clayton, New Jersey, which is, you know, right next to Washington Township, basically. So Jacob was home and was visiting and dropped into Webb. And Jay had told us he was going to be there. And so I already go on Wednesdays to train, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna shoot my shot. So it was probably like my third time meeting him casually. And I said to Jay, I was like, do you think you can introduce me? And it was kind of funny. I was like very awkward and embarrassed because I felt like a little kid. Jay's like, Jacob, this is my friend. She's a little nervous. And I was like, hi, Jacob. And I mean, you know, I'm 34 years old. He's like a kid, like, I don't mean that with disrespect, but he's like, he's so young. But again, like we said before, we make them out to be these like superstars, which they are. But it's like, I'm still a 34-year-old talking to a 20-something-year-old. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't be so nervous, but it is hard not to be when, you know, they come with their accolades. So talked to him and just asked him if he would do the podcast, and he said yes. And honestly, he's just the nicest guy, was willing to come over. And to be honest, I told Jay, I told Yara, I'm like, you know, I respect him and his time. If he doesn't want to talk about the situation, I'm just happy to have him on. That's another thing I really try to do as a podcast host, is not push people to talk about things they don't want to talk about. I just think you catch more flies with honey, or bees, flies, whichever one.
You catch stuff.
You catch something with honey. But I feel like if I'm known for pushing people past their comfort zone, eventually people aren't going to want to speak to me, right? So before I turned the cameras on, I sat him down and said, I'm okay with talking about whatever you want to talk about. If you don't want to talk about certain things, just let me know now. And he was like, nope, we could talk about anything you want. And I was like, great. And so we did. And that was pretty much the J-Rod story.
And then Craig Jones reached out?
Yeah, so Craig Jones, I didn't reach out to him. He actually reached out to me. So I assume what happened is, of course, I posted that clip.
Preview. Kind
of, yeah, like a little cliffhanger, like, oh, are you cool with Craig? Which, you know, spoiler, they're fine.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I just got a message from Craig. I assume he wanted access to the podcast to make sure nothing was said about him so that he could do what Craig Jones does best and, you know, go on there and troll everybody. So shout out to Craig. He was super nice. He sent me and my sister two really, really good tickets to CJI as a thank you. And me and my sister Annie flew out to Vegas and had a great time. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. It was, I didn't expect to get a message from Craig. And Craig, if you're listening, please come on the podcast.
Yeah.
I did ask him.
And then come by to talk.
Yeah. And then when you're done, come here. He'll do a little tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did respond. He just obviously was like, oh, I'm really busy right now, because it was like the week before CJI. So maybe I'll get another opportunity. He's hit or miss with his messages for sure. You got to catch him at like 3 a.m.
Yeah. It's funny because at Movement, we have like UFC fighters and all that stuff like come and train there. Like, yeah. Sean Brady is like a regular there, right? And so for us, it's like seeing him is very regular.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've rolled with him before. You know, like, he's hit me with those guillotines. It sucks. But yeah, like, there's times where somebody will come in, drop in, and they come to the, like, locker room, like, is nobody going to react to Sean Brady being out there? You know, like, and I'm like, yeah, he comes here every Tuesday. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. It's so funny. I used to be that person that would react, like Yara and my friend Aishin and Amanda Levy. They would tease me, right? Because like I said before, I'm new to the sport. I mean, I'm still new to the sport. So to your point, I would see like Helena at ADCC, and I'd just be like, oh my God. I was just on my drive here. I was just talking to Yara about a picture I have of me, her, and Gordon. And like Yara grew up like with Gordon. Amanda Levy grew up with Gordon. And to me, I was like, we need to get a picture. And they're like teasing me, like, you want a picture with Gordon? Like, we've known him since we were like 16. I'm like, okay, well, I didn't grow up with Gordon. So I think this is really cool, guys. And so to your point, like Sean Brady also trains at Webb MMA. Mm-hmm. So I see him all the time. And it is still cool. Like, it's Sean Brady. Like, he's the GOAT. But, yeah, you become almost, like, desensitized, which also another shameless plug. Like, Sean, please come on the podcast. He also, you know, gave me a good maybe, but he's really busy right now. So I would love to have him on. He's the nicest person ever.
Yeah, very nice guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's, like, really cool about this sport. Like, you just see on YouTube this. And there's one guy, shout out Anthony. He just joined our gym, right? And his, like, I love taking classes with him because his reaction to, like, every move is, like, he just got mind blown, right? Like, he's a purple belt from transfer from another gym. Mm-hmm. And he just started, and their sons were like, you know, Nick or Danny are teaching move, and he's like, whoa, like he literally like out loud reacts to like that. Moves and all that stuff. And like, he's the one that came into the locker room and was like, guys, Sean Brady's here.
Like, yeah. And real quick back to Sean, like speaking of what a nice person he is, like I went out for Deanna Bennett, who, is an MMA fighter. I was out for one of her matches in Kansas City, and Sean was there because him and Jonathan were coaching. I forget who it was, but they were coaching one of their guys. And I was with my friends from who live out there in, or no, it wasn't Kansas City. It was Michigan. I'm sorry. So we were in Michigan, and I was with friends who live in Michigan, and they were like, oh my God, Sean Brady's here. And I was like, yeah, like I know him. Like he goes to my gym. Not that we're close friends, but like I know him. He would recognize me. Mm-hmm. And my friend's like, I have a Sean Brady collector's card. Like, and I was like, on you? He's like, yes. I was like, shut the fuck up. So he's like, do you think he would sign it? And I was like, I honestly think he would. So I walked up to Sean and Jonathan. And I'm like, my friend's here. Like, would you do me a favor?
You were playing the same card. That was
exactly. Like, would you like sign my friend's card? And he was like, oh, of course. And like, so nice. Like, he could have just like signed it and not paid attention. He like sat down with us, like chatted, asked my friend about, you know, his name and what he does, and just took a couple minutes out of his time to make him feel special. And I just think that's so important. Like, I think the way that he is still so like humble and doesn't act like he's too important, just, I don't know, it makes you want to root for him even more, honestly. Yeah. You know, like he's just not only the GOAT on the mats, but he's just the GOAT as many times as I've like had interactions with him as well. Yeah. So
not just a rural nice guy. It wasn't, I mean, like to me, he just comes off as like super nice.
He is, yeah.
It's the just taking the time to talk is, it's like just his personality. I don't think it's to make somebody feel special or anything.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of people in the jiu-jitsu community are like that. I mean, when I started the podcast, I mean, it's still very small, but I probably had, I don't know, 200 followers when I had reached out to people that were outside of my group of friends. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked. Like shout out to like, Joey from, Fuel Hunt, like the two of them came out, they drove all the way to my house, which was like over an hour. And both of them came and sat down and did the podcast. And like, I'm still a nobody, but I was really a nobody then. And they still took the time. And I mean, even the people that I see all the time, like Amanda Mazza and Amanda Levy and all these people who came, Steve Joachim, all these people that came early on, they didn't have to. It was really no benefit to them, especially at that time. And so
Drew comes to Movement, so I have a tentative date.
Drew from Fuel Hunt. Oh, they're gonna come. Awesome, you're gonna love that. They're like they're very motivating, and honestly they motivated me. Like I remember during that episode they were talking about like just not giving up and how consistency is really what separates you. And I do keep that in the back of my head because there's weeks or months where the podcast is not flourishing the way you want it to.
Yeah.
And if you just stay consistent, it will grow. Like it can't not grow if you're being consistent. So I try to keep that.
That's the thing that surprises me. Like I'll open up my stats and it will like, there's people in like Japan or like, you know, Bulgaria so that's cool. Like listening. And I'm like, really? Yeah. How'd you find that? Right. Like, it's like, that is so cool. Like it's like you start seeing the map light up and it's like, oh my God, like it that's really crazy. Cool.
I know. I never thought like 100 people would want to listen to me.
Right.
And now being in thousands, I'm like, in the grand scheme of things, I'm still so small, but I'm just like so grateful. I'm like, I can't believe 5,000 of you give a crap about what I'm saying, you know? And more importantly, give a crap about what people in the community are saying. That's really what I care about. The fact that like I have people on that are just business owners. They're not big athletes. Like I don't always have big athletes on. I have like the guy that owns a gym down the street, and like I'm still getting thousands of people that want to listen to what he has to say. Like, how cool is that?
You know? That's cool.
So I really do enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Also, another piece of your life, following you from Instagram. Sorry, it's may sound stalkerish, but like it's just me following everybody. But you go to Puerto Rico every year.
Oh, I do. Yes, I go. So, actually, I try to go 3 to 4 times a year if I can pull it off. So I go out there for dog rescue. It started with a vacation. So this is going way back, but I used to live in Nebraska for work for 2 years. And I met some girls there through the dog rescue I volunteered at. And they were like, we're going to go to Puerto Rico on a trip and we're going to volunteer with dog rescue. I was like, okay, I'll go. So we ended up going. We ended up like flying some puppies back to get rehomed outside of Puerto Rico. And then from there, I just made connections and I kept flying back. And, you know, instead of just flying dogs back, then I started helping trapping, neutering, releasing, and getting really involved. And now I have a friend named Dawn, and she has a house on the west side in Rincon, and she flies me out, and I help her with whatever she needs involving the dog rescue. So with that said, Nick and Danny from Movement Art, when I had them on the podcast, we were talking about it, and they're very interested in helping with coming over and doing a seminar to raise money for the dog rescue. Nice. And they've already done, like, I think 3 seminars in Puerto Rico, so it's not new to them. But that will be in March, so anybody's interested, keep your eyes and ears peeled. I will be announcing that. I want to get people to come over and, you know, sneak be a part preview. Of it. Yeah, sneak preview, because nothing is set yet, but March is what we're aiming for.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I think Jay Regalbuto might make an appearance as well. We'll see. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
So how'd you get, like, basically, why Puerto Rico?
Honestly, it was just a coincidence that they had invited me on that trip. I was moving from Nebraska back to New Jersey, and I was just sitting down with my friend Jane and Lily, and they were like, we're gonna go. Actually, I think they originally were going to Aruba, if I'm not mistaken, and what happened was the pandemic hit, so they couldn't go to Aruba, but Puerto Rico we could go to. And so I think that's how it ended up being Puerto Rico. And then, since it was an odd number and we were sharing rooms and stuff, I invited my mom along, and my mom is actually closer in age to them. And so I was already friends with them, but my mom became friends with them. And actually, coincidentally, we've been going on a vacation every single year, and I leave in 2 days with the 3 of them to Peru. So now we're like travel buddies. Nice.
I was going to go to Peru actually in August, and that got canceled.
Oh, why?
Yeah. The hotel, like the Airbnb kept canceling and saying, we can't, you know, hold your reservation anymore or something like that. Like, and it was just like, we'll rebook you for another one. And it just kept happening over and over again. And then finally my wife was like, I've had it, you know, like we're canceling the whole trip and all this stuff, but we're going to Greece next week.
Okay. So, well, you know what? That's not a bad turn of events.
No, we're actually going for my sister's wedding.
Oh, nice. Good for you. Yeah. I've never been to Greece, but it looks.
Yeah. Same. Really, we gorgeous. Haven't been to Greece. Do you travel outside, you know, much besides?
Yeah, I try to. Jiu-jitsu has taken over my life quite a bit. I would say the past like 5 or 6 trips have been to Puerto Rico, just because it's an easy, quick trip. But a couple years ago, I went to Costa Rica. And then probably like pre-jiu-jitsu, I was traveling a lot more frequently to, you know, Europe and other areas. But yeah, I love to go as much as I can. It's just I find that between jiu-jitsu, the podcast, and my actual full-time job, it is hard to carve that time out, which is why I put Peru on the calendar and I'm like, I'm going no matter what.
Nice.
Yeah, so it'll be exciting.
There's a monkey jiu-jitsu that I was supposed to go there.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And so look out for that if you want to go do some jiu-jitsu over there.
I know. I told myself, I was like, no jiu-jitsu this trip. No dog rescue.
That's
this
how my
trip.
Wife got me to go, because we had already been to England and Italy this year.
Nice.
And she was like, can we go to Peru? Like, and we have this extra miles and all this stuff. We can. And I was like, yeah, we can make it work. Mm-hmm. But first I was like hesitant, and she's like, there's this monkey jiu-jitsu down the street from where I want. And I was like, all right, you got me.
What exactly does that mean? Like the monkeys, like real monkeys?
No, no, no. Or that's the just name the name place? Of the place.
Okay. At first, I thought it was the name of the place, but then the way you were describing it, I was like, maybe there's actually monkeys.
Okay. It's like the name of the place, and it was like down the street from where we were supposed to stay. Okay. So we were supposed to like go do some jujitsu a couple of nights, you know, there too with my son. But
yeah, ours is like completely booked through like a travel agency. So I think we're like pretty, you know, booked up like from sunrise to sunset. So I don't think I'll have time, but I have been doing so much competing lately that I'm like actually okay with just taking like a 10-day break, you know? So,
yeah. My last competition was pretty like hard on me, like as far as like
physically.
Like the weight cut and all this stuff that I just like after that, like nonstop eating. And I'm just like, I'm back at that point where I'm like, all right, I got to stop now. I got to go back down.
Yeah. It's like, it's funny. I will say like, cause obviously I'm just a hobbyist, but I've been trying to compete and I feel like it does keep you in shape. Cause like for me, I like have to stay at a certain weight if I don't want to get like completely crushed. Mm-hmm. So it does make you a little bit more mindful because you're just always thinking in the back of your head, like, oh, I don't want to have to, like, try so hard when it gets closer. So let me just, like, you know, eat, like, decently, you know, every day leading up. So it has helped to keep me in good shape. Where did you compete?
Jersey Open.
Oh, nice. I was there.
Yeah? Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That was the only time I've done it. But, yeah, this year I've been trying to do
it. It sucked because it was, like, a couple days after, like, our anniversary. So we went to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I was, like, on weight. And I was like, you know, I'll just have like one of the bread, you know, with what, and then I was like, I had two. And then I was like, oh my God. Crap. And then the next day, my weight just like jumped like crazy. I'm like, no. And then I was like trying to get it back down. And it was just like terrible. Anyway, the night before I'm sitting on the hot tub, like trying to shed like one more pound. And then I didn't eat anything the morning of. I get there an hour early and my name's already on the board. So I didn't have time to like rehydrate, warm up, everything. And it just like bombed. And I got out of there and I'm like, that's it. I'm eating my eyes out. Like I just like went somewhere and we just ate like crazy. And I was like, I didn't stop since then.
It's really hard to compete when you're like feeling weak and not like replenished. Luckily, I haven't ever had to cut too much to the point where I wasn't able to like feel okay. But from what I hear from my friends, especially IBJJF, where you have to like weigh in and then immediately go compete. I've never done an IBJJF and I don't know if I could for that reason because I need to feel, you know, like I have actual like carbs in my system. Yeah. I can't be shaky and compete.
So. No, like New York Open was pretty chill, like in the sense like I was like completely under, you know, like I was able to eat like regular and all this stuff, drink something, you know, come in, weigh in. I felt good, all that stuff. But yeah. Jersey Open was not that good.
You know, not to add insult to injury, but yeah, I think for that, I didn't have to do anything, thank goodness.
Yeah, but this was the first time going to lightweight. Oh, okay. So that was like another thing. Like I was going down and down because like as soon as you get like middleweight, heavyweight.
Dudes are huge.
Dudes are
huge. I was going to say, they're it is like a little different.
And I'm like masters too, so you got jacked up dads who are like TRT dubs. Yeah, just like... chicken hawking you.
No, like just as like a safety precaution, it's like you have to cut.
Yeah, you have to cut. I have to, especially me. Like I'm 5'5". Like
yeah,
I shouldn't be 200 pounds. No. You know, like
no.
You know, so like I cut down to like 164, and I was like, okay, I feel good there. You know,
like, it's like if they could do it by like weight and height, or like stature. Then that'd be different, but it's like, yeah, you're so right. Like for the dudes, you guys get some monsters. Although, like most of the time, like grappling industries, nagas, things like that, I usually don't get myself in really bad situations with size discrepancies. But 80cc, no, that is rough. I think they just added a weight class, so it's going to be better. But when I did it for women, it is rough, and I will never probably be able to cut to the weight class below. So. For 80cc, I think it's, I always forget, I think it's like 154 and up, no cap. There's no cap. So that means if you're a woman that is 154 pounds or more, you can go against potentially a 250-pound woman, 300-pound woman. You know, it doesn't matter. So 80cc does kind of frighten me.
Yeah. Because of that. No, that's crazy. Yeah. I don't want to do any of the like I'm a hobbyist too. I don't. Yeah. I mean, this year I competed twice, but that's it. But I don't want to get into like I'm not looking to win worlds or anything like that. It's like I can barely make it through the training room.
Like, I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I would always just stick to Grappling Industries and Nagas, but then I was kind of like, you know what? Why not see how far I can push it? Like, at the end of the day, I have a job. I'm not, like, relying on this by any means. So, like, you know, it's not like it technically matters, but I do care. Like, I want to do the best I can. So this year I've been trying to see how far I can push it. And, you know, we'll see.
You know Dylan Royce?
Yes. Yep. I've had him on the podcast. Yep.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, he said one time, like, competing in Naga is like kissing your sister. And I know it shouldn't affect me, but that's the reason I don't compete in Naga.
Damn, Dylan. That's a hell of a quote. Now I don't know if I'll ever do a Naga.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it really affected me. I'm like, man, I don't want to do a Naga. Like, I don't want to kiss my sister.
Oh, man, yeah. Dylan does say some awesome things. That's hilarious. Yeah. Honestly, I think Grappling Industries is my favorite. I feel like you get the most for your money, honestly. And shout out to I always say it wrong, Criminal Wear, the Criminal Rash Guard company. I always say Criminal Minds and they're like, that's not our name. That is our name. A TV show. I always mess this up. But they if you buy their rash guards, they give you like a free entry to a Grappling industry. So that's pretty cool. But in general, Grappling Industries, at least for women, and I assume men, you know, you're guaranteed two matches and the price is pretty reasonable. Naga, if you get in early, I think it could be reasonable. But I also have paid like $200 for one match.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Like, that really sucks. So I usually stick to the Grappling Industries.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I think black belts are free, too, for Grappling Industries. So that's a nice perk.
10 years from now.
I was going to say, not for me, but for black belts.
Yeah. In the way when I'm Masters 5.
When I'm 55 years old, I'll get that perk. Great.
Anything else you want to shout out on this?
I'm trying to think. Just again, keep your eyes and ears peeled for Puerto Rico. I'd love to get as many people out there as possible. No, that's really it. I really appreciate you having me on.
And I really appreciate you coming, Alice Cosey?
Coast. Alisa Coast.
Sorry, Alisa Coast. My bad. Alisa Coast, Jits and Giggles, go check her out. This episode is brought to you by Bowl Planner. Bowl Planner is your one-time shop for scheduling your business, clients, bookings, and employees all in one place. Go check out bowlplanner.com. See you in the next one.
Thank you.